you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hi, this is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello. We're here at The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly.
LiveParanormal.com.
Weekly. Weekly at LiveParanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is Stefan Bergotti from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. She rocks!
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host. Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30 Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Groff, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickGroffTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Celebrating her 9th anniversary as the Ghost Host, it's Sophia Temporelli right here on LiveParanormal.com.
The Ghost Host.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. This is hands down the world's most unique paranormal broadcast, where Sophia began at 12 years old 9 years ago. So congratulations, Sophia, on 9 years of broadcasting. You're doing a great job. And she discusses all the latest haunt topics with all the paranormal field experts themselves. And today is no exception. Feel free to jump into the LiveParanormal.com chat room. Make sure all the questions are capped so we can distinguish from the chat going on in the chat room. And we can add your questions in for our guest too as well. Feel free to call in 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. Thank you, Rob Sarek, the site founder of Live Paranormal, for providing this format each and every week, and to all of our moderators. Thank you guys for patching us through at live events where we had no internet feed over the years. Thank you guys for all your assistance through the years, and hope everyone's keeping safe. Today, A&E's Ghost Hunters Key Investigator, River Bend Paranormal Team Founder, former Marine Corps Platoon Sergeant Brian Murray joins the program. Everyone on Twitter and Instagram, it's at Brian_MurrayGH. That's at Brian_MurrayGH. GH, at Riverbend Paranormal, and of course, officialghosthunters.com. Next Saturday coming up, we have Ghost Adventures producer, ghostvillage.com founder, 30-odd minutes host, and you heard his voice during the intro there too. Jeff Belanger comes to the program on the 19th next weekend. Also, Netflix televised psychic intuitive remote viewer returning to the program, Harvey Althouse. He also gives readings during the show too, so be sure and call in during that from today. So that's on the 26th. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. We have a great lineup for October too. People are securing their dates, and Sophia has a big event announcement coming up too as well for Halloween weekend. So like the Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn about the guests and events as we learn of them real time. Also, like liveparanormal.com Facebook group page. A lot of great new paranormal investigative member team panel roundups on the weekends here at LP, and a lot of great new broadcasters added to the lineup as well. Also, the memberships, they start as low as $2.99 a month. Rob Sarek, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the audience. So a lot of autographed books by some of your favorite paranormal authors. With those DVDs, he's great at rewarding people in the membership VIP packages. Also, support the vendors. So if you're getting mom or grandma a mail meter for their birthdays, make sure you do it here with the vendors at LP. And also tonight, starting on Live Paranormal at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghost Light Radio, as well as monthly Mondays right here. Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, and now on Kindred Spirits. As well as two, Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhard, and many more right here on this very network. Archive shows, if you miss anything, they're available as free MP4 iTunes downloads on the homepage of liveparanormal.com as well. Having a little slowing here in the muting queue, so waiting for her to get into the show here. There we go. It finally untoggled there. Sophia, congratulations. 9 years of broadcasting. You're doing a fantastic job.
Hey, thank you. I can't believe it's already been 9 years.
I know. Seems like just yesterday you started this show. You've helped a lot of people through the years. You're doing a fantastic job. New stuff loaded on your YouTube page as well. So you got all these little Twitters and all these different things. Where can people find you?
So I'm on Twitter at Sophia Temporelli's 1L, Instagram at Sophia Temporelli. You can also check me out on Facebook, Sophia Temporelli, like page. Also, last night I did an interview on the Paranormal Channel's YouTube page, so make sure to check that out. It was a great interview with the younger generation of the paranormal on Dead Air Resurrected with Satori Hawes, Cody Ray Desmond, Colin Browen, and myself. So make sure to check that interview out too, guys.
Yeah, all the youngsters in the paranormal. Well, you guys aren't so young, but I mean, you talked about when you started out in the paranormal. So fascinating interview you guys did last night on YouTube. That's the Paranormal Channel on YouTube, and they just posted it, so it's available now. But you know, yesterday the anniversary of 9/11, and we have a service member coming on the show today. So we'll be bringing him on momentarily. Tell us about our guest today, Sophia.
Today, we welcome A&E's Ghost Hunters Key Investigator, Riverbend Paranormal Team Founder, former Marine Corps Platoon Sergeant Brian Murray. Everyone visit Twitter, Instagram, at Brian_Murray, GH, at Riverbend Paranormal, and officialghosthunters.com. Let's welcome him into the show.
And Brian, thank you for your service. Unmuting you now. Let's see here. Any second now. There you are, Brian. Thanks for coming on today.
Well, thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for your service.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It was great meeting you at the Glen Tavern Inn, by the way, with the rest of the Ghost Hunters crew.
Absolutely. Such a cool place, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's such an amazing location. I mean, it's just, you know, it's in such a little town, Santa Paula, but then, you know, it's just kind of this Victorian-looking place, and it's just a really interesting location.
Absolutely. I cannot wait to go back. I feel like I will go back. I have unfinished business
mm-hmm.
there. And, it was a blast. I enjoy all investigations. So it was a good time.
For sure. To start off, I know that you run your own paranormal team, Riverbend Paranormal. Can you tell
mm-hmm.
us a little bit what kind of led you to starting your own paranormal team and who some of the members are?
Yeah, so when I was probably 16 years old or so, I went, it's kind of funny, I went to this young girl's house to try to date her, and I brought my buddy Matt. When we went to her house, she went to use the restroom or whatever, and her mother came out, and she had a tray of drinks. She bent over, and behind her was a man standing. This man was gray. I could see him. He looked at us. He turned, and he just disappeared. So from that point on, me and my buddy, that point on, me and Matt decided to leave. I did not. To this day, I have not spoke to that girl. I feel bad about that, but seriously, like, I saw somebody standing behind her mother that disappeared in front of my eyes. So I decided I better get out of there. Me and Matt, on the way home, we didn't talk. We were both, like, pretty much in shock. So it terrified us. We had no idea what this was. So we decided, got to figure it out. So we started researching anything that we could on ghosts, the paranormal phenomena, you know, by reading books, by watching old shows like Sightings and things like that. And when I was in the Marine Corps, you know, I would continue to study that and research that. And I would actually be out on different exercises taking pictures of old buildings when I'm supposed to be, you know, doing some kind of firing exercise or whatever. I'd still be taking pictures. And even when I was in Iraq, I was taking pictures of these buildings trying to figure out what was going on in them when I was over there, which is a terrible thing to say. America, I really did do my job. I didn't just look for ghosts, okay? But as soon as I got out of the Marine Corps, I contacted Matt. I said, hey, I'm thinking about starting a paranormal group. I just seen this television program called Ghost Hunters. I know it's weird. And these guys seem like real people that are doing what we want to do. And I think we can do it. We started our group, and it's still going strong today. I got about 14 members. I've had it up to 20 members before. That way we can really do a lot of things. Rochelle from the show, she's on the team. That's how her and I met years ago, and she became my best friend. She's also on Ghost Hunters with me. So that's the story.
That must be really nice for you to have your best friend working with you on Ghost Hunters. What kind of led you both to actually making it on the show?
Honestly, it was just, we had been investigating forever. We really didn't do too much to put things out. I mean, we would go out and have fun and do our things. We had done a few interviews, Skype interviews for different people that had ideas for television shows, and they always went well. But we really didn't think, you know, anything was ever going to come about it. We just continued to do what we did. And then one day I got off work. I came home, and there was a message on my phone. I looked at the number. I didn't know the number. So I thought it was a bill collector. So I went outside. I was like, I don't know what I didn't pay. And I called it, and it was a message that said, are you interested in doing a Skype interview for a paranormal show? And I was like, okay. I'll do it. So I called the number. I immediately went in and done an interview. And I was in bib overalls, dirty. I'm a construction worker, so I was dirty. And I just answered the questions like I would normally answer anybody. Like, what do you want to know? You know, I just was straightforward like that. And they were like, I love you. I said, what? Like, I'm not doing anything special. It just went from there. And then they asked me about Riverbend Paranormal. I told them, you know, I founded the group, you know, years ago, and I gave them the opportunity to, they said, can we talk to anybody from that group? Well, absolutely. I gave them the Facebook. I gave them the Twitter, all the different social media platforms that the group's on, and said, you can check it out. Check anybody out. Well, they ended up calling Rochelle, which made me extremely happy. I would have been happy with anybody, but as my best friend, this makes me the happiest, you know?
Yeah.
She did some of the interviews. In a couple weeks, they said they're going to fly us to L.A., to do some more interviews, and we went to LA and did these interviews, and waited a couple weeks after that. We did not know it was for Ghost Hunters. It just said a paranormal show, and her and I just stuck with what we normally would do. We never changed how we investigate. We never changed how we interact with each other, and apparently they liked it. and we got on the show together, which is incredible, I think.
Definitely. But I think it was, you know, partially, like you said, you came in with your construction worker clothes on, and it was just really the realness of you that made you a part of the team. You weren't, you know, you had done interviews before, but you weren't in it out. You were just doing what you do and taking the opportunities as they come.
Yeah. I mean, it's honestly, I never thought about being somebody different than myself. I mean, you met me at the Glen Tavern. Mm-hmm. I just completely myself. I talk to anybody. I do what I do. I have fun. I respect everyone. And like that kind of thing doesn't affect me. Like, I'm not going to change who I am for anyone. I mean, that sounds bad, but I am who I am, and it's led me to good things, and I'm going to keep doing that.
So with your time on Ghost Hunters, what has been the most exciting or interesting thing that has happened to you while filming the show? I know that there's certain things you can't talk about while filming seasons, but is there anything, an experience you had you can reveal?
First of all, like the experience of just meeting the team that I was going to work with. We never knew each other. Me and Rochelle were the only two people that knew each other. Nobody else did. And then to find out that you're working with Grant Wilson, I mean, that right there, he's a pioneer. Him and Jason Halls and those guys, they started a lot of the television shows. So to be able to work with one of the founding members of that was amazing. And I enjoyed every minute of every investigation in every place. I truly love the paranormal, you know, not just because of a television show. I love it because it's a part of who I am. You know what I mean? Like, I wake up and I think about it. When I go to sleep, I think about it. And it doesn't mean, it doesn't have to be on a television platform. I'm working on cases right now for my home team today, on Saturday, before I even did this. I'm working on three different cases for people. This is what I do. It's a part of me. So everything was awesome. But I will say, when I first saw St. Augustine Lighthouse and how iconic the place was, that was super exciting. And what happened to me and Brandon out there in the woods with something moving, something huge, not being able to pick that up on the thermal camera, not knowing what it is, going to the zoo and talking to different wildlife people, and they seen the footage and they couldn't figure it out. To me, that still gets me. I'm still looking for what that was. But, I mean, I had a fun time on all the locations. I think, you know, Alaska was amazing. Waverly Hills, I've been to Waverly Hills seven or eight times now. I enjoy going there. So everything was good. I think that what you see on the show is how I really am. And when I get scared, startled, you're going to know it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and when I think something's interesting, you're going to know it. And when I think, you know, something's emotional, like what happened at the Air Force Base, Wendover Air Force Base, I mean, it's real for me. So all of it, really.
Absolutely.
Did that answer your question? Or
No, it did.
Okay.
I'm just thinking, you know, there are probably so few investigators that have gone to Alaska. And I had talked to Brandon Alvis from Ghost Hunters also about your trip to Alaska. What was that like for you, taking such long boat rides to somewhere so remote? Do you feel that it being such a remote location changed how you got evidence? Do you feel it made it more? And were you seasick? What was that like for you?
I will tell you this. Going to Alaska was, to me, it was exciting. This is not a place people get to go to often. We were told flat out right off the bat that if we didn't come try to help these people out, nobody was going to. Okay.
Yeah.
So right then, the stakes are high. These people really need us. It's going to take us. It took me 10 hours of flights. It took me 4 hours of ferry ride to get to this small town that didn't have very many people. But I absolutely loved it. I didn't get seasick. I was anticipating getting there and getting started and doing what, you know, I look at every one of these investigations like a mission, like when I was in the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
So we get the task, and we've got this task ahead of us. Now, it's going to take a while to get there. When we get there, it's all business. And when we got there, the town opened their arms and embraced us. They gave us whatever we need. They helped us out. Everybody was amazing. The case itself, I feel like we could have done 12 to 13 episodes from that location. It was very active, and we only got to touch a bit of it, you know. There's some military there, you know, which really I enjoy. The evidence that I thought we captured was, I thought, phenomenal. I mean, anytime you catch what looks like apparitions, mist, and you can back that up with different EVPs and things like that, I think you're doing some justice there. So it's one of my favorite locations. I wish and I hope that one day I'll get to go back there and just revisit the people, revisit the place. It's when we left. It's when it really got scary and spooky. We're set to leave, and when as we get out there, about an hour into our ferry ride, the waves and the water was so, it was awful. Like, we had to turn around and go back because it was unsafe for us to travel. So we were literally stuck in Alaska for we were trapped in Alaska for 2 to 3 more days after we were supposed to leave because we physically could not get out of there. So it just made everything, I think, just incredible. The whole experience, it's beautiful, and the people were nice. The evidence was great. And the test, you know, the test of just doing this investigation, I thought made it one of the best that I've ever been on, for sure.
And, you know, with having such rough conditions and obviously not many people being able to come or go with conditions like that from time to time, do you think that that increased the activity there, just it being somewhat untouched by the rest of the world?
Yes, I do feel like it hinders it a little bit. I feel like a place like, let's just say, Waverly Hills, constantly people are there. Every day of the week, somebody's there investigating. And if you think of these entities as real, as people, just like they are, you, yourself, myself, we get irritated sometimes. Sometimes we just want to be alone and things like that. And on the flip side of that, if we're never seeing anybody, kind of like right now when we're all in these quarantines, when you're isolated so much and you don't see anybody, when you finally do see them, you get excited and you want to see them more and you act out more. So I feel like since a lot of people haven't been able to go investigate these places, I don't think there was a local team in Haines, Alaska. I feel like this was a chance for these entities to say, hey, these are people we haven't seen. They've come a long way. Let's show them that we respect that they're doing this, and let's give them a little piece of what we're made of. And I think that's exactly what they did. I think the reason it was active is because they don't get people to interact as much.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, if I was dead, I would definitely like to interact with different people from time to time, especially because, you know, they're around a lot longer than a living person is. So they see people come and go, but it's not someone maybe with a different accent or someone that has a different way of life, because what they're seeing is, you know, a remote lifestyle.
Yep, and the same people for a long period of time, you know what I mean? And, like, here's a new group of people that are wanting to just talk to us. They're wanting to figure out what we're doing, why we're here. It's not like the people of Haines just go in there and look for entities every day. They're doing their regular jobs, their regular business. They're doing what they normally do. We were there to talk to these entities, to figure them out. So we were giving them all the attention.
And, you know, I know earlier you mentioned St. Augustine's Lighthouse. When you're filming in something so tall, and I would say, I've never been to a lighthouse, but I would guess more narrow than a usual location. Is there any challenges in setting up or investigating, or just investigating in general, with so many flights of stairs and just the height and size of a location like that?
Absolutely. There's a challenge in St. Augustine every step of the way. It's a very hot location. When you walk into the lighthouse, it echoes from the the bottom, 220 plus stairs up. You can hear everything. It's not an easy journey up to the top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you get up there, you are winded. I don't care what shape you're in, you're going to be winded. So there's a lot of challenges there. There's also neighboring parks and things like that, and mm-hmm. there's a highway. So there's a lot of noise and things like that, but it's an amazing location. I would definitely go back. I have been back a couple of times since we filmed the episode. But there's a challenge in any investigation that you do. You know, you're dealing with the unknown right off the bat, you know. So challenging, yes. Amazing, absolutely. And I suggest anybody that gets the opportunity to go check it out, even if it's just to take pictures, you must do it.
Of course. And I can only imagine what it's like to get to the top of that. I'm afraid of heights, so I don't even know if I could go up to the top, but I definitely would be hurting once I got up there.
I'm in the Marine Corps, or I was in the Marine Corps. But when I got up to the top, and this is crazy and weird. I don't know what it is. I think it's an actual thing I think people get, but all I can think of when I got up there was, man, this is tall, but if I jump off, I just keep thinking about jumping off of the thing, and I was like, why am I thinking that? But I believe it's a thing. I'm not crazy. I'm not weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't spooked when I was up there like I thought I would be. You know what I mean? It's tall.
Yeah.
But all I can think of is like, man, it's really pretty. You can see everything. I loved it.
Well, that probably is one of the best views in the city, so I can imagine that it's really amazing to just look out from that viewpoint.
The whole city or town of St. Augustine is incredible. Just walking around the whole town is amazing. I think it's the first town in America, or the oldest town, one of the two. I'm not sure exactly which one it is. It's just walking through is amazing in itself.
And I know also, speaking of locations, you are hosting an event you will be a part of an event at Mineral Springs Motel that you're hosting with Daryl, Rochelle, and Mustafa from Ghost Hunters. Can you tell us a little bit about that event and what the attendees can expect?
Yeah, Alton, Illinois is where I'm from, and the Mineral Springs mm-hmm. Hotel is literally 4 to 5 miles away from my house. It's the first place I investigated as a team. When I went on my first paranormal investigation, that was it. It's near and dear to my heart. It's completely haunted. It's been on a lot of, you know, paranormal shows. It's been on documentaries. It's been on World's Scariest Places. If you look Alton, Illinois up, it's known as the smallest little haunted town in America. I'm right off the Mississippi River. It's a small town. It's amazing. And we're going to go in there and do what we normally would do. There are several different locations inside the building. And Mustafa and Daryl and myself and Rochelle, we're going to get in there. We're going to talk with everybody, and we're going to get right down to investigating. That's what we're going to do. We're going to break it up into different, you know, locations inside the building and just get right down to
mm-hmm.
it. Like we were shooting an episode, like we were doing a paranormal investigation. Just flat out, here the entities are, let's go find them, let's interact. And that's it. We're just going to do it together as one big team.
It sounds like a great event. And can you tell us, you know, a little bit of the backstory of the location or what you believe is the most haunted room at the location?
There's different stories and theories about the place. It's been a mm-hmm. hotel. It's been, right now, it's got apartments in it and little different shops that just give the building life. I know that there is a little girl entity there. They believe her name to be Candace. I believe that's the mm-hmm. name. I might be wrong on the name. But it's a little girl entity. I've got several EVPs from her. I feel like I've been in her presence many times. There is a lady called the Jasmine Lady, which has fallen down a set of stairs, and people have seen this woman. They can smell her. They said that she smells of lavender and things like that. People have seen that and heard that. For me, the most notorious spot would be what's considered the men's pool area. There's been people that have drowned in this pool. It was an inside pool. The mineral springs used to be in the building, and people would go there because that water would supposedly have healing properties. And people would go there and get the mineral springs, and they'd swim in those pools and things like that to try to heal them and make them feel better and things like that. Well, people drowned. So I would say that is probably the most active location. As a matter of fact, Rochelle and I were there, I think, last week, and we were just going in there messing around. Nobody was in the building. Mm-hmm. It was just her and I, and we heard an audible woman say hello to us. And I did a one-minute EVP session, and I asked if anybody wanted to talk to us, and a man came on there and said, he said, yes.
And
so I had an audible voice, and just as clear as day, of a woman and a man that said yes within 5 minutes of being in the building. And this is stuff that's happened in that building to me and my team for 15, 16 years. I continue to go there. I love the place. I hope to buy it one day if I get enough money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wanted to go there. Like, that's where I started, and I want people to be able to enjoy it too.
Well, it's great that you are, you know, bringing people into that and, you know, interacting with some of your fans through your event. Can you tell the audience where they can purchase tickets and when the event is?
The event is September 25th. It is on an Eventbrite. Unfortunately, there is only like 2 tickets left to the event, but you can get it on Eventbrite. You just look up Mineral Springs, and it'll pop right up in Alton, Illinois. And it'll be a good time. Like, I go out, we go and do these events. We just did one in Ashmore Estates about, you know, last month, I believe it was. And the object is not for us to sit there and be these TV personalities or whatever. It's to get in there and investigate with, I don't even like to say fans, I like to say other investigators. We're one big team. We get in there and we rock out. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, everyone make sure to check out the event on eventbrite.com. And I know we have to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more questions.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Hope everyone's keeping safe. Feel free to call into the show at 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316 if you're in the chat room. And feel free to jump into the liveparanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to get an avatar and you're part of the LP family. But make sure the questions are all capped so we can distinguish the questions from the chats ongoing in the chat room. As today, we welcome A&E's Ghost Hunters Key Investigator, Riverbend Paranormal Team Founder, former Marine Corps Platoon Sergeant, Construction Specialist Brian Murray. Everyone visit Twitter and Instagram at Brian_MurrayGH. That's at Brian_MurrayGH at Riverbend Paranormal. And, of course, officialghosthunters.com. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli, paranormal.com. We'll be right back with Brian and Sophia right after this.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on liveparanormal.com.
For joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporilli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporilli on LiveParanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it, you know? It's almost like we didn't leave break.
Oh, poor Dave, left out of the voice promotions there on LiveParanormal.com. I'm bringing everybody back into the studio. Sophia and Brian still trying to toggle the unmute there. There we go. We have you both back on.
Hey, right on.
Hey, thank you again so much for coming on today.
Absolutely. I hope I'm not being terrible.
No, you're not. You're a fantastic guest. I know you also are a part of another event upcoming on October 17th through eventbrite.com as well. Can you tell us about your upcoming co-hosted event with Natalie Jones and Rochelle Stratton at the Haunted Hill House?
This is something that I'm extremely excited for. We did an event with Natalie at the Old Park Hotel in Texas, and Natalie was telling Rochelle and I a lot about this Haunted Hill House and how amazing it is, and she said we should do an event sometime. Well, apparently we're going to in October. I'm super excited about it. Going to get to sleep in the building. And I have not, this isn't one of the investigations that I'm going into completely just blind. I'm not listening to anybody tell me anything about it. I'm not doing any research. I'm going in, finding what I can find, and then at the end of it, listening to these claims and see if I can't, you know, solidify some of these claims with what I've got. So it's a new place for me. I haven't been there. I love going to Texas. And Rochelle will be there. Natalie, we had such a great time at the Old Park Hotel. I think it's going to be a blast. I think it's going to be fun. And if what I'm hearing about this house is true, I think this could be one of the best locations out there, to be honest.
Well, it sounds like a great event, so everyone make sure to check out this event as well. You are very busy, though. You have another event on October 23rd. Can you tell everyone a little bit about that event and where people can find out more information?
Third, I got to figure out off the top of my head where that one's at. Is it Kansas City?
The Haunted 1889 McInter Villa.
City 2. So that's another one that Rochelle and I will be on. And just going to go into this mansion that is supposedly incredibly haunted. I've been getting messages from people telling me that, hey, I just been there and it was amazing. We're going to go in there and do what we do. Rochelle and I are going to, you know, sit and talk to people for a few minutes and then get right to the investigation. There is tickets still for sale on that. It's also on Eventbrite. I'll have to get the link and post that on my social media. I mean, it's out there flopping or flying around. I just don't know off the top of my head. I've got a lot of things coming up.
Yes, you do.
I'm pretty busy. Like, Rochelle's better at this than I am when it comes to where we're going and what we're doing. She kind of takes care of that for me. I kind of just pick things up, like her luggage and stuff.
Well, that's always helpful, too. I mean, you don't want to try and juggle it all.
That's the way her and I work. So, like, she'll book flights. She'll book, you know, the hotels and the flights and do all the paperwork stuff to get to where we're going. She's very bad. I'll do a lot of talking to, like, the locations themselves. And I do a lot of the work, like making sure the bags get where they're supposed to be by picking them up and things like that. She takes care of me. It's good to have her, you know?
Well, it's good to have that partnership. I mean, you handle the bags, she handles all the booking things, you know, that help is always needed. I know when I'm doing my shows or events or have to do anything, do interviews, my mom just handles it all because I don't know what I'm doing. So it's much easier to have someone who's not actually involved in stuff figured out for me.
I totally get it. Like, I honestly, if I didn't have Rochelle help me out on this stuff, I wouldn't know where I'm going tomorrow, probably. You know what I mean? Like, just yesterday I had to ask her, what days do we have free in October? I just had to figure it out. Like, she gave me a list of, like, you have, like, 5 days in October where you're not doing something. And I was like, my God. Okay, let's get with it then. So, it's on Eventbrite, though. I know that.
And, you know, speaking of how busy you are and how you and Rochelle work so much together on booking stuff, how do you balance, you know, filming, going to events, family life, and doing interviews?
Well, to be honest with you, the families are the most important thing. Fortunately for Rochelle and I, we have spouses that are, like, my wife is a stay-at-home mother. She takes care of our children. She's teaching them right now and everything. So for me to go out and film, you know, you go out and film 2 to 3 weeks at a time, then you come home for a week, and then you go out 2 to 3 weeks at a time, and you come home for a week. I was fortunate enough to have, you know, my wife's here with my kids and things like that. Also, I work for my family and my construction business, so they understood too. And with Rochelle, she has, you know, her husband. He's able to manage the kids, and he's a firefighter and things like that. So it worked out good for us. Family's always first. When it comes to filming, we've got a good solid plan with that, because you know in advance when you're going to be gone, so you can really plan far out. You know, I knew for the whole year what days I was going to be gone, and they didn't really change too much. So that was nice, because you can plan. As far as interviews and things like that, you want me to be completely honest? I forget who I'm doing an interview for every single day until they message me a couple days before and say, hey, by the way, remember we're on Thursday? And then I go, yeah, absolutely. And then I have to look. I'm like, okay, yeah. For yours, I've been on top of it, because I have really scaled down on being able to do the interviews, because I've been working a lot lately, and I've got some family members that are in the hospital and things like that. So I've been really just kind of doing very few interviews and things like that. But when you called and asked, I was like, I'm definitely going to do that one. She was very nice to me, and I liked it. So I knew about yours.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate, you know, you coming on with your busy schedule and everything. And yeah, I really just appreciate it a lot. So thank you for that.
Thanks for asking me, first of all.
Well, yeah, you're welcome on any time, by the way. If you have anything to promote in the future, just let me know. I would love to have you back on.
Seriously, this has been one of my absolute favorite interviews. It felt nice and easy, and feel like I was just talking to my friend right next to me. You know what I mean?
Of course. Absolutely. By the way, you know, when you're doing investigations, I know that you were in the Marines, and you said that you look at each investigation as a mission, but how do you prepare yourself and get ready for an investigation? What are the steps you take to prepare, and ultimately, what do you do during the investigation?
Okay. This is gonna be weird for you, I'm sure. But listen, when I get a case and I'm about to go on an investigation, I literally read the bare minimum on it. I like to go into these locations with a little bit of information, not enough to persuade my, you know, my vision when I get in there. If I know that Mary hung herself upstairs, that's all I'm going to be thinking about when I go upstairs. So I let the evidence speak for itself with minimal knowledge, right? I get a good amount of rest because I know I'm going to be up late, but this is the things that I do that I guarantee a lot of people don't do. Before every investigation, I listen to 2 RuPaul songs and 2 Bullet for My Valentine songs. Before everyone, to get me pumped up enough to go in and do what I do. That's it. When I'm on the location, I'm focused on just trying to reach out to the entity, trying to figure out what's going on. I always use the client as in, you know, I like to say to the entity, you're the direct link to helping me help this client, and I can also help you as well. So I focus on that. You know, I'm usually pretty respectful. I don't go in there and scream and all that stuff. I really want to know what's going on. So that's what I do. I mean, a couple RuPaul songs, a couple Bullet for My Valentine songs, and then I get with it.
That completely makes sense, honestly. Because, you know, I took a psychology course in high school, and the thing I always attributed to, you know, when you do have information like this person hung themselves there, is kind of like pareidolia, where you're seeing a face in something that there is no actual face, like seeing a face in the front of a car, attributing the headlights to eyes, you know. It's kind of like that, but trying to fit these puzzle pieces into something, even if they don't necessarily relate, because you're trying to fit the evidence you get with the story that you've been told.
Yeah, I like to go in and let the evidence tell the story rather than a book or somebody else tell me. I like to get a little bit of the information so I know about how my questions will go. But if there is an entity in this home or this building or something like that, what if it's an entity that hasn't spoken out before? What if it's something that's new to the location, and I'm the one that has brought them out by the questions that I ask or my presence being there? You know, I'm going in looking for Mary the whole time, but I'm really getting Jonathan, who hasn't been able to talk to anybody because nobody's in there looking for him.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
that's what
sense.
I like to do.
With a lot of locations.
Investigator, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I just feel like every investigator goes in and has their own way, and I feel like, you know, there's not, I'm not going to judge somebody else's, you know, the way they investigate. I'm just going to do what I do and what works for me, and what works for them is however they do their business, and I respect what they do, and I respect what I do. What works for me is that approach, and I haven't changed in 20-some years, and I feel like I won't, because it's worked for me.
Yeah, I mean, when I lived in my haunted house, I knew that my grandfather had died in the house, so the history that was actually reported there, and I knew, was my grandfather died there, but the ghost that was haunting us or making itself the most known was not my grandfather, and now we don't know who that was. But if you're going in there searching something, you would probably attribute that ghost to being my grandfather that passed on, even though it wasn't.
Of course.
You know, the way you're going into an investigation, you're looking at more of the complete possibilities rather than the one that fits historically.
Right, because that building may have been there since the 1800s, but that land has been there forever. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just because you know about Mary possibly passing away doesn't mean there wasn't a handful, because I'm pretty sure there was a handful of people that have died on every inch of our world. So that's just how I am. Now, if you can go in and you got a location where you definitely have credible evidence that says this is definitely what's going on here, you know, that's a little bit of a different story. You would like to get to know that entity as well, but keep it open, keeping the possibility open for anything.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there are just so many possibilities with what happened on the land prior to the house being there, what happened maybe unreported at the house itself, and there's just so many different options where it may not have ever been recorded.
There you go, and that's why the paranormal is so great, because honestly, I'm 20-some years into doing this. I've had a great time. I've done a many, many, many investigations. But I'm still searching for the answer to the first experience that I had. And I won't be done until I figure it out. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That first initial experience is what stuck with me, and it keeps me going back. All these other investigations and all these other things that I've done in the paranormal are all great and awesome, but I'm still searching for the answer to day number one.
So I know with your first experience, that was at a residence, but what advice would you give to people who are actually going through home haunting experiences, especially right now in quarantine where you're not able to kind of escape that reality?
One of the first things that I like to tell people is this. The entities are people just like you and I. And if you let Hollywood and the scary movies and things like that influence your mind enough and think that everything is bad, it's not like that. It's not like that at all. A lot of times these things just want to be heard, want to be known. Hey, I'm here. Interact with me. So if you're scared, just remember that this is a person. You can try to interact with them. Be respectful. I always say keep a notebook or a logbook of anything that occurs, writing down the time, even the temperature and things outside, anything that you can think of, write it down. And then as you write these things down, maybe as the weeks go by, you can start looking back and seeing that there's a pattern or something there. But don't automatically think everything is vicious and out to get you. Reach out to them. Be respectful and just see what you can come up with. See who this person is. And then who knows? You get to know them and you guys can live together and do your thing, and it could be a beautiful thing.
Of course. I mean, I didn't have a good experience in a haunted house, but I know that every haunting isn't like that. So I always try to say to anyone, just because, you know, you've had this experience doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad one.
Right. I feel like people in general are nice and people in general are good, but I feel like there are people that are angry. I feel like there are people that are jerks, and why would they change once they pass away? So a lot of these things that people think are mean and vicious and, you know, things like that could be just somebody that's just very irritated in life in general. You know what I mean? Like, Hollywood has made everything that's dark and everything that happens in a house that you don't know by just, like, everything paranormal is always bad in Hollywood's eyes. But that's not actually the case. A lot of these things could be really good. You know, if you look at some cases, you know, sometimes these entities have helped people realize that what they were doing was wrong. If they change these steps, you know, disaster may not occur. You've read stories like that, or you've heard things like that. Sometimes they just want to talk and be heard, man. They're lonely.
Even though Hollywood's made like 20 Annabelle movies, I mean, there's still a cast for a movie. So go check that one out, because it shows that there are some friendly ghosts.
They're the most friendly of them all is Casper. Come on. Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, Patrick's Swayze.
And I know we're coming.
And Patrick Swayze, that's a good ghost.
That's true. I mean, you can't really argue with that one. I know we're coming towards the end of the show, but are there any websites, upcoming interviews, or productions you would like to mention?
Oh, boy. Honestly, just the events that you mentioned, right now, I'm just focused on Riverbend Paranormal and this pandemic. And once this pandemic gets, you know, taken care of, the ghost hunters can get back out there and do what they do. And I'm just enjoying everything right now. I don't have anything to really plug other than those events that you did. And people can hit me up anytime. I love talking to people in general. And I like doing these shows. And if you wanted to ever contact me and have me back on, I would definitely say yes. I could do this every day.
Absolutely. We will definitely have you back on in the future. And I want to thank you so much again for coming on today. It's been great talking to you. And hopefully once the pandemic's over, we'll be able to see each other again in the future.
Absolutely. I will be back out at the Glen House at some point. I'm making that known. I want to go back out there.
Yeah,
and Brian,
it's a great location.
As Sophia mentioned, you're welcome anytime to promote or any upcoming seasons, anytime. And thank you so much for your service.
Thank you guys, man. That's a part of my life that I cherish, being in the service, being able to, you know, just do my part. I love the Marine Corps, and yesterday was a big day, and I'm glad that we're still, you know, honoring that. I didn't join because of 9/11. I was in before that, but 9/11 definitely sent me to Iraq at one point. And I appreciate everybody that supports the military.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for your service, and thank you for coming on today.
Thank you,
I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
You too, guys.
Yeah,
have a good one.
And congratulations.
Bye,
congratulations on what?
Yeah, oh, Ghost Hunters. I mean,
thank you.
That's huge. That's amazing.
It. Yeah, thanks you guys so much, man. Have a good weekend.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Have a great weekend. And yeah, Sophia, fantastic show today.
Brian was such a great guest. Everyone, make sure to check out his events on eventbrite.com. I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you. Check out the Paranormal Channel interview I did last night, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
And we have Brian's back on the events. I know he's got a lot, and I know there were some still pending. So, I mean, as far as the dates and the locations, eventbrite.com, that's eventbrite.com for Brian's all of – also, too, at as he mentioned, too, at River Bend Paranormal, which is the group that he founded. Brian Murray, you can go to Twitter and Instagram. He has all the dates and everything. Also, too, there's a thumbnail at River Bend Paranormal, too, as well. So if you visit Twitter and Instagram at Brian_MurrayGH, that's at Brian_MurrayGH. Also, too, at River Bend Paranormal. And, of course, officialghosthunters.com. Remember, next Saturday we have upcoming Ghost Adventures producer, ghostvillage.com founder, 30-odd minutes host Jeff Belanger coming on the program. That's next weekend, the 19th, as well as Netflix televised psychic, intuitive, remote viewer returning to the program, Harvey Althaus. And he's always great about giving our guests readings, too, on air and some remote views of their location and things that they may have going on. So they're always compelling shows. He's going to be on 2 weeks from today on the 26th, so you don't want to miss any of these upcoming shows. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. We'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie and Sion Ghost Adventures. You're listening to the Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.